Hey, welcome back.
All right, good.
It's we're 3 a.m. somewhere.
Feels like it to me.
Yeah. Well, good morning in wherever, Australia.
Yeah, actually, we're probably just picking up a whole new audience from
those
parts of the world that were not well served by our earlier start time.
Exactly. So. Almost, you know, maybe we should have started later. Who knows?
So good morning.
Yes.
Good morning, Cobbers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think it's time to talk about push notifications. We've been alluding to this off and on, kind of teasing people.
It's the missing bit of the... It's all the stuff we've been talking about. It's the final piece in this jigsaw of working with tiles and doing stuff and updating.
Exactly. I like the way the tile jigsaw thing kind of goes together.
Yeah.
That's great. All right, well, let's dive into this thing. But, you know, first and foremost, as we jump into our push notifications, we've got to, we certainly need to look at our agenda just to remind you where we are. As it turns out, we're on push notifications, which is second to last.
What?
Yeah, that's crazy talk, isn't it? And look at it, it's only going to take 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So I bet you we can beat that. And then tomorrow, a whole bunch of crazy stuff.
There you go.
Excellent. So, push notifications, it means server push, server initiated. We've been doing lots of pull things, lots of device-initiated things. Now we're going to go to the server and do server push. We're going to talk about the infrastructure required to do this server push and the three kinds of notifications that that you can do. And response headers, no less, because you've got to have response headers. Kind of goes without saying. So push notifications, you know, is this slide going to build? Not so much. Anyway.
Not that one.
Not that one.
Coming up.
It looks like the one that's going to build, but it's really not.
That's just a title one.
It's just a title one to get you, to tantalize you about push notifications. Servers, arrows. It's what our architect lives by, right? All right. So Andy talked about push notifications for live tiles because it's very timely. You know, if you have a new service, you have new news updating, breaking news, could use those nine image tiles to push down images of what's going on and breaking news around the world, weather, things like that, so that you can have that glanceable information that, you know, push notifications and live tiles are, I think, a match made in heaven, no less, especially if you have that great recipe app. That's where it's happening. So push notifications. So, you know, typically applications might pull a back-end server. They keep saying, do you have anything, you know, which is just horrible for the battery, eats up bandwidth, all those kinds of bad things. Mm-hmm. Anyway, server-initiated communication. It pushes something only when you need it, only when it's time to get it. We're going to talk about some background, key background scenarios. Clearly, push preserves battery life and preserves that user experience over pulling. You know, we've talked about a long time ago, back in the Windows Mobile days, we'd build controls and things like that, you know. I used to sell a custom control in Handango, which was probably the first real app store, if you will, in the, you know, early 2000s. And kind of back when we, you know, we had our 20,000 apps, you know, back in 2004 and 5 and things like that for Windows Mobile. But yeah, you know, we'd build things to help let people know when the network's available or when it's not or when you could reach a resource. But it was still based oftentimes on polling. Until we got a little more savvy and we tried to simulate how Outlook does it with EAS and kind of those long hanging on things with HTTP and then pushing down that way.
I think it's really interesting when you think about how actually something like this server-initiated push works, because it's still actually a pull, but it's a clever one.
Pull to push, maybe?
It is. It's kind of like
push to pull.
So you know how like email works on the phone?
Yes.
So this is really interesting because you get a notification you've got a new email on your Exchange server, and quite often actually in advance of it popping up on Outlook, for example, on your PC, you'll just see that happening.
Right.
You get it on the phone first. And the way it works is the mail client, it uses a very long-lived HTTP request back to the Exchange server. So normally you do an HTTP call and you wait for a response. And if you don't get a response in like 15 seconds or something, or 30 seconds, your browser will say, oh, I can't reach that resource. You'll get a timeout error. Whereas with one of these long-lived HTTP requests, the timeout on it is like 30 minutes or something. So it goes off to Exchange Server, and the Exchange Server gets this HTTP request, and then it just sits on it.
Yeah.
Doesn't reply to it.
So normally you have this request response, but yeah. In this case it's request, and I'm just kind of hanging on.
I just kind of wait. And then when the Exchange Server gets an email come in, then it will immediately will respond to that long-lived HTTP request, which is why you get suddenly get the notification coming up. And the push notifications infrastructure does a similar kind of thing. So it's, you've got something on the phone that is having these long-lived HTTP requests to Microsoft push notification services. And it's this is why it's efficient.
It is,
doesn't use it. It's not a battery killer.
Absolutely. That's great stuff. So let's talk real quickly about the three kinds of notifications. There's the raw kind, which is just specific to your app. Only your app can understand it. You can make it pretty much however you want it to. There's Toast, thing going across the top. You've probably seen Toast quite a few times now during our sessions today on Andy's emulator. It just won't stop.
I just killed it.
Did you kill it?
I killed it.
See,
yeah.
We can kill it. All right. And so there you create, you know, it's an XML schema, and you send the content the way that works. And then there's the tiles, as we've been showing already, you know, updating tiles with these notifications. So let's talk about our push notification data flow. This is the important stuff. So there's our device over there on the left-hand side. You know, it's push-enabled, you know, and it's your endpoint. Then you have the Microsoft, push notification service, MPNS. And then you have a third-party service. So it could be, you could be using Azure, because that's where you're going to control your, if like, let's say you built the app and you need push notification to notify the users who bought your app of something. That'll be initiated from your third-party server. So, you know, the first step here is your client application running on the phone. You request a push notification URI from the push notification client service. And so that push service, it negotiates with the MPNS, the Microsoft Push Notification Service, and returns a notification URI to your application. So once you've done that, then your client application can send your URI to your cloud service in Azure, of course. And you've got to implement a web method on your service to allow client applications to register with your service.
Yeah, the key here is that URI is your unique address for your app running on that particular device.
Yeah.
Completely unique. And, okay, you've got it in your code that's running in your app on the phone, but if you've got it, that's no use to you. You've got to pass it on to your back-end services.
So, absolutely.
And that it's your back-end services that needs that URI so it knows where to send stuff. So that's why you need to send that URI to your own registration service.
That's a beauty.
And you keep a list of all your clients. It's a good way of finding out who's running your app, because you'll have one of these one of these entries for every single one of your currently used current editions of your app, copies of your app that's being run.
That's a great good idea. All right, so we've done that. So then once we've done that, then we've got our web service. So when our web service has some information that you would like to send to share with someone who had bought your app, that client applications, it's going to use that URI in sending a push notification to the MPNS. And then to close the loop, the MPNS then in turn routes that push notification to your app running on your phone. And then, depending on the format of the push notification, the payload attached to it, it could be raw data, it could be Toast, and it could update a tile. Pretty cool stuff. So push notification features. So tile updates can update any display element with the tile templates, and I think you've already kind of seen that. Now, what is this about being careful about the 7.1 clients? I guess it has to do with the fact that they've got limited
the
tiles.
The payload is different. Yeah, right. So exactly that. So if you try and send a push notification that's formatted, and we'll look at these in a minute, but formatted for the flip tile template, to a Windows Phone 7.1 device, which has got the old tile template, that it's not going to work.
Right.
They're different. They're different actual tile templates.
Interesting.
So, yeah, you
good
need...
to know.
So, really, the key is when you send that registration, I was talking about sending that URI to your registration service, you need to probably not only send the URI, you need to send the OS version that you're running on, you know, perhaps the version of your app, all useful information. So send enough contextual information across to your back-end service so that it can, if assuming you're supporting different clients, you can then send the appropriately formatted push notification message across for the particular version of Windows Phone that the client is running on.
Absolutely. All right. One other thing to think about is just 30 subscription endpoints per phone. So that's 30 of your unique apps that can do that. Because obviously we can overwhelm a device doing all that activity, all that bandwidth. So you know, we have to be careful there and be thoughtful. We have this, these are the headers on the payload, the size for the header and for the payload. This unauthenticated web service, so you see we're doing these web service calls all around the place. If it's unauthenticated, which means you're not using SSL, then you're limited to just only 500 push notifications per subscription per day. You could have 100,000 people with your app times 500 a day, basically, is what that's saying. It sounds like an awful lot. So I don't think of it as the biggest limitation ever. So, you know, I don't worry about that too much. But you can also have authenticated, especially if you're sending a secure payload down. And so, you know, do the SSL thing, and then you don't have any limit at all. And then you can also register to get a callback, which callbacks are nice.
They are, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So Toast, you haven't seen enough Toast so far today, and so I thought we'd show you a little more Toast. I think you've already seen it, but, you know, this push notification using an XML schema, you know, can send down a toast. It can pass a parameter and fire that toast. And, of course, as we've seen, you can click on that toast, and it can take you to a particular page in your application. So here's kind of an example of what that. So here's the HTTP headers you see at the top, and that's all really exciting, isn't it? And then the content, that's the important part, kind of this XML document, you know, and you can see the example, a weather alert. You know, I think I've seen that on weather apps I have on my device, actually.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, and so so good information, as well as I decide to click on it, and it takes me to a particular page.
And the key message here is the toast messages and the tile updates. They have to conform to a specific XML schema because they are quite likely, the tile updates are only ever processed by the OS, the Windows Phone OS. So your app never gets to see these messages. The toast ones, well, yeah, they can be delivered to your app if it happens to be running at that time. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, those are handled by the OS as well. So that's why they have to conform to this specific schema.
Absolutely. So tile message content, as Andy just said, they're never delivered to the app. You know, the OS is handling these things, whether it's the flip, the cycle, or the iconic tiles, updating it. And so updated with the images, remote URLs, remote images are limited to 80K, and they have to be able to be downloaded in 30 seconds or less. We don't want to bombard people and eat up their bandwidth and have them connecting all the time for long periods of time. Especially as we know, you know, 1 minute you're in coverage and you're driving down the street and then you're out of coverage again, potentially. So something lightweight that can get there fast and have a high probability of succeeding and actually arriving and showing up on your tile. The Phone 7 clients cannot consume these new templates, as we kind of talked about there. So there's definitely those considerations of the differences with Phone 7 versus Phone 8 when you're doing that. And you've got these other HTTP headers. Flip tile schema, this is kind of an example of what that might look like. I'm not going to dive through that. It's just a bunch of fun XML for you to throw some content into. And then likewise, of course, we have cycle tile. And lo and behold, we have 9 places for us to cycle those 9 pictures through. So that's what that has to look like. And again, as we've said repeatedly, you're going to get all these slides, you get the code, and so you can just copy and paste to your heart's content to make sure that you have the correct schema for everything. And there's the iconic tile. And then an example of raw message, you know. And again, this you get to, it's a little more freeform since your app has to get it. And in this case, delivered within 450 seconds. And then if you set for deliver, what is this, immediate delivery? And then the batching intervals for immediate,
right,
or then delivered within 450 or delivered within 900 is the batching that you choose from. So obviously you could send a little bit more or a lot more. All right, let's see if we can take a look at a demo of these push notifications.
Oh, I was answering questions. Whoa, right, here we go. Okay, so this is a tried and tested demo, actually, this guy.
Excellent. So there's no way there's anything going to go wrong. Oh, where's the wood?
Where's the wood?
Yes.
Yeah. Actually, this demo last year bombed spectacularly, so we'll see how we go. Okay, you know, now this demo is this has been around forever, but this is a new version of an old favorite.
Oh, excellent! And we always love that.
Speaking of weather, this Retro. Is indeed a weather push notifications app. So, I've got a solution here with three projects in it. First of all, this is a Windows push notifications is a Windows Phone application. The important things to call out here, and I'm not going to debug this bit of it, so I'm just going to point out what we are doing. So this is main page. There's some logic in here where we subscribe to HTTP channel events. This is where we do all the push notifications wire up stuff. Then we subscribe to, what are we doing there? So, this is where we send it to us. Subscribe to notifications. This is where we are we're hooking up to binding to Toast and Tile notifications. And this is where we are finding our notification channel if we've run before. So all of the plumbing code to actually from the client side is all in this application. Then also we've got a WPF, remember that?
Whoa.
A WPF application, desktop app, which is also hosting a WCF service.
So WPF and WCF at
all
the same
in the
time.
Same app, yeah. So it's a
wow,
yeah.
That just happened.
Now the important thing in here as well is and in here, we can send push notifications. It's an app we can send notifications from. Let's run it up. And then I want to show you the code. You can see what it looks like first. So there we go.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Isn't that lovely?
It is.
It is. The weather notification server. So this is both the client. This is a simulation of your back-end logic where you can generate updates to send, and it's the way of sending them. So we've got no client. Look at the bottom right-hand corner. We've got no clients in the minute. Now, when our Windows Phone app runs up and subscribes to push notifications, it's going to need to send that URI over to this server, and I think I've got a breakpoint. So here's the service. First of all, there's an iRegistration service, the interface which defines the service contract for our WCF service. So we've got register and unregister methods on there, which just takes the URI for simplicity. And then here I've got a breakpoint on the register method, so we can see when the phone client comes in. Now, the phone client is running on, I'm going to run it on a real device because I have had problems with the emulator. So I've got a real device here, and I've also got a viewer so we can see what's going on the screen. So this is the output from our device. So you're seeing me use the device here. I'm going to start the push notifications client application. First of all, I'm going to pin it to the start screen. It's a boring push notifications, just the default tile at the moment. And then I'm going to run it. So I'm going to just tap on the tile to run this application. And it's going to subscribe to push notifications. And it's retrieving. You look at the bottom, it's got a default screen on that. It's going into finding it. I've run this before. So it's looking for details of the previous HTTP notifications channel. And if the gods are with us, and this is where I get slightly twitchy and nervous, would you believe that?
What happened?
It didn't run. It didn't work. Okay, I got an error there. So that sucks. All right, let's just try it once more. No, not that. So this guy... I've not been plugged in again, have I? No. So I'm trying to connect through to... this is not good.
No connectivity?
No, that's right. Maybe I lost my Wi-Fi or something.
Maybe so.
So I said yep. this demo has always been the bane of my life. It's kind of connectivity issues. I've got a device here. It actually probably would work better if it was all on the public internet. It's all you know, trying to connect between local networks and
is
that sort of thing.
Is your laptop connected?
No, I don't want to be on that network. It didn't work. So right. We should be good if this is up on Wi-Fi. So
okay.
No, we should be good. But let me just... run this guy again. I'll just deploy. Well, maybe let's deploy the client to the device again. Deploy down to my device. Just make sure we've got. Why has it failed? Ah, okay. That's actually quite good.
This is a good sign.
Well, no, it's not a good sign.
Bad sign. I don't know what I'm talking about.
It's because I'm on this USB out. So we might have bombed here. Let's just try it once more. No, I'm afraid it's not going to work. We'll come back to that one and try and show you. So that's terrible because I don't have another demo. So that sucks. The idea was, and it worked before, I tried it honestly in the break because I don't trust this demo. I tried it in the break and it's let me down again. I will just run this guy up again just because I believe in trying a few more times.
Yeah, at least 10 or more. Rewrite the code live during the,
So I have to start Visual Studio as administrator because it's hosting a WCF service.
Right.
I'll give it one more try, but then we'll have to move on, unfortunately. Start that running.
I really like the WPF app. Very immersive.
It's not the purpose of the demo, unfortunately, though.
Touch first.
Yeah. So, That's interesting. Try that again. All right. Let's try running that again. This is possibly my last chance on this.
Got our fingers crossed.
We've all been here. Go, baby, go.
You can do it.
You can. It's taking a long time.
Right.
Oh, maybe we're on the breakpoint.
When in doubt, check a breakpoint.
Oh, my God.
He's on a breakpoint. Yes, it's really working. It's the breakpoint after all.
You are right. So there we go. Oh, I don't know what the magic source we use there. That is a push notifications URI. You can see this whole long throttle third party there. So we send that through. And it's going to be registered. And now we have got a connection. So let's just bring that this guy up again so you can see. So there's our device on the left there. And here's the client. So we're actually in Redmond, and it's actually raining outside.
Get out of town.
Mm-hmm. It is, and definitely not 72. What are we, kind of 40, 30, 42, yes. Something like that.
That's good, yeah.
Yeah. So we can do a tile update, we can do a raw HTTP message, and then hit the send button. So and then we can do that raw HTTP message, and if we go back over here, there we go. Ready?
There it 42. Is. That was fast.
42.1. That's kind of weird. Okay. That's very precise. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So we can... now, it could send a toast, but nothing will happen until I actually close the app. So, yeah, we could play around with this, and I can send another one. Let's say in London, it's probably also raining, and probably about the same temperature, actually. So, but let's say it's a tiny, tiny bit colder. There we go. London rain, so we could send that one. And, of course... In a minute. Did I do it?
There it is.
There it is. There
That's
we go.
Fast.
That's fast.
What did it have to do to make that?
I prayed.
Did you, I mean, oh, hops and calls to different servers all over the place?
Yeah, totally.
And the speed was amazing.
Ah, yeah.
You know, that's great. Very low latency. I'm impressed.
And this is using the real push notification services, you know.
Yeah.
You can only imagine the size of that cloud service. How much, all sitting in Azure, of course. There's the word of a relieved man. So we can hit send, and over here on the device, there we go.
There it is.
Alert. It works. And we can hit it and start the app again. Oh, it's re-registering, of course, just because it does it every time. And all you see all the messages at the bottom, raw, raw, toast, and raw. And the final thing I want to do is let's deliver a tile update, and this time we'll go for Moscow.
They're having tech ready. Well,
Tech Ed.
It's
almost certainly snowing and very cold. There we go. So we can send that over to the device as well. That's a tile update. Now, back on the device, of course, you don't see anything on there because that's the app running. So let's just cancel the app. And look, there you go.
There it is. Go.
There's the tile that's been updated with the temperature on it.
A little cold.
Yeah.
Now, it's a good demo.
It's all right.
It's almost like you had a socket connection between your laptop and the device. It was so fast. And yet it went through all these hops, your cloud service, the MPNS. It's amazing. It's good stuff.
Just before we leave this topic, just to show you a little bit of the innards of this thing. Let's go into this notification sender. Let's send a toast. So I'm going to put a breakpoint on that. We'll go back to the client. And here we're going to send another toast. Well, just anything, formatting, toast, and send it from the client. And this is where we get into this library called Notification Sender Utility. So this is where we actually build up the message that we're going to send over MPNS that ends up on the device. And this is formatting all that XML, and then we send it out to the device, and back on the device, of course. There you get the word formatting toast. There we go.
Excellent.
There we go.
That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And here's what that device that he was using actually looked like. It's one of our new devices that has a keyboard. It's very clever. Real innovation.
Mm.
All right. So let's move along here. So now we have some custom response headers. I think we all know that 200 means okay, don't we?
Yeah. Yeah, on that one.
We're definitely in the HTTP land. So these are, we get a notification status that you can have, the device connection status, subscription status. So lots of good diagnostic kind of information. And we're already reviewing. What a fast session this was. I'm impressed. I'm really impressed. So push notifications. I know we've been pounding a dead horse here, but yes, it's the best battery efficient way to do things, and it's also the most efficient, using bandwidth and stuff like that versus polling. Raw notifications, remember, they go to an app directly, and you have a lot of latitude on how you can format that. Toast can go to the app if it's running. If it's not running, the OS handles it and shows it across the top, and the tile notifications are handled by the OS to update the tiles on the start screen. And there you have it.
Great stuff.
I think we're in the home stretch.
We are.
Excellent.
Good. That's great. So we've kind of pretty much done with all the tile story with that. So we've got one session left today, which is talking about interacting with the kind of the built-in hardware on the phone. So some camera stuff and some contact stuff, a little bit about, launchers and choosers and all that kind of stuff. So there's plenty of good content in there where you can interact with the phone.
We like to do that.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So,
all right.
We'll see you soon.
See you soon.